Afia Siddiqui is a Pakistani woman who years ago had studied at Brandeis University and at MIT. The government alleges in a 7-count indictment attempted murder charges against U.S. soldiers and U.S. personnel, armed assault charges against those same persons, and the firing of a weapon. So there were 7 charges in the indictment that they alleged against her in this case.
But what did the defense think really happened?
We had a very compelling forensic defense in the case. And what the government alleges happened is that Afia Siddiqui, when she was in the custody of Afghanis in a small town called Ghazni, Afghanistan, thousands of miles away from Tampa here, that while she was in custody, she picked up an M4 rifle that was left on the floor by a soldier. And she aimed it and fired it at a room full of armed American soldiers. But when we looked at the evidence in the lab reports in the case, which the government was not terribly willing to share with us, we found that there was absolutely no physical forensic evidence to prove that she ever fired that weapon, let alone touched the weapon. There were no fingerprints on the M4 rifle that belonged to Dr. Siddiqui. There was no DNA of hers on the rifle. There was no gunshot residue on her or on anything surrounding where the rifle had been allegedly shot. Of course, she didn't hit anybody. There were no bullet holes in this small room. And the room that we're talking about where this occurred was a 300-square-foot room in the Afghani police compound. So there were no bullet holes. There was no gun debris, no shrapnel, no casings, no bullets recovered, absolutely nothing that showed that she touched the gun, let alone fired the gun. So we believed we had a very compelling forensic case. The government, typical in these kinds of cases, wanted to scare the jurors. And so what they talked about really, because they knew they had a very weak forensic case. So what they talked about was her alleged past and alleged connections and her alleged jihadist or terrorist activities, which this was not what this case was about. I will tell you that the government produced several eyewitnesses, all of them soldiers and FBI agents, who said that she picked up that rifle, aimed it, and fired it. But what we learned in cross-examination of each and every one of those American soldiers was that they all told a different story. One soldier had her standing in one part of the room. Another had her standing somewhere radically different. Even within their own statements, because they were interviewed by FBI agents after the incident, they contradicted themselves. So they not only contradicted each other on the events of that afternoon, but they also contradicted themselves. They couldn't even agree on something as fundamental as who was in the room at the time. So we tried to tell the jury that, you know, there is a saying, what happens at the front stays at the front. And there is no question that Ghazni, Afghanistan is a war zone. And there is no question that these soldiers, and we got that out in cross-examination, would die for each other. They would cover for each other. They would protect each other. And while our mandate was not to judge those soldiers in that trial, what we asked the jury to do was to put aside the fact that they were soldiers, that they were just human beings. And human beings can be mistaken. Sometimes they can lie. But the point was that the forensic physical evidence, the science which does not lie, did not support her ever touching that gun.
We're speaking with Linda Marino. She's a defense attorney for Afia Siddiqui. And what was Afia Siddiqui doing in custody in the first place?
She was apprehended in Ghazni, Afghanistan. She was sitting in a cafe. The Afghani National Police were suspicious of her. They don't have anything like a constitution or Fourth Amendment in Afghanistan, so they could just apprehend her. And they claim when they apprehended her that she had documents on her, drawings that showed chemical or biological formulas that showed attacks on New York City. Dr. Siddiqui claimed that those documents were not in her handwriting. And again, the point here was this was not a crime about attacks against New York City. This was about armed assault against U.S. soldiers. And that is what the case was about. And that is what the government tried to get away from. So the Afghani National Police apprehended her and took her into custody. And then they turned her over to the Americans.
And she alleges that she was tortured during that time.
She does. And what was interesting about that is that there is a lot of, there are stories out there about the missing 5 years of Dr. Siddiqui. And in her trial, she took the stand on her own behalf. And what is very interesting is that in part of her examination, she said that she was tortured. She said that she was rendered to secret prisons. She said her children were tortured, two of whom are still missing to this day. And when the government stood up for rebuttal, which is their right, they can rebut anything they want that the defense has presented. They never rebutted those assertions by Dr. Siddiqui. They never brought forth FBI agents or CIA or any government representatives whatsoever that said nonsense. Dr. Siddiqui was here during those 5 years or there, or there's no evidence that she was kept in Bagram or any secret prison. They did not choose to rebut those assertions. We find that very interesting.
How did the trial end up? What was the verdict, and what's the next steps?
The jury found Dr. Siddiqui guilty of all 7 counts. They refused to find that she premeditated the act, however. So now we go into sentencing phase. And what happens between now and May the 6th, which is the sentencing date, is that we work with the probation and sentence reporting officers to try to get a history of Dr. Siddiqui and present a comprehensive picture to the judge to try and militate away from what could potentially be a life sentence for Dr. Siddiqui. Of course, after the sentencing, within 10 days, we will file a notice of appeal. You know, all these cases matter. They affect us all, and we should all remember that the whole world is watching on all of these cases.